So this morning I'm going to be reading out of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. If you all will stand to honor the reading of God's word this morning. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. And I'll be reading out of the New Living Translation this morning. So just wanted to mention that. So just to kind of give a backdrop at this point, in 1 Corinthians, Paul, you know, he wrote a letter to the church in Corinth. And earlier in the chapter, Paul was instructing the church on how to give the first day of each week. And jumping down here to verse 13, Paul shifts his focus. And this is what he start off with saying. All right, verse 13. Be on guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. And do everything with love. I'm going to read that again. Be on guard. Say that with me. Be on guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. And do everything with love. Father, I just thank you for your word, Lord. Father, I pray that your word would penetrate all of our hearts this morning, God, that we would go deeper in you, Lord. Father, I pray that we all will leave this place looking more like you. Your word says your word is alive. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. So, Father, I pray that this morning that we will humble ourselves and allow you to cut the things out of our hearts, cut the things out of our minds, cut the things out of our lives that don't belong, Lord, so that we can stand firm, so that we can be on guard, so that we can live center on love. We need you, King Jesus. Invade this place today. Have your way, Lord. We just say yes to your will. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. You may be seated. So I may not be too long this morning, but don't worry, because I want everyone to spend a decent amount of time in prayer. So just want to mention that. We'll see how things flow this morning. So this morning, there are 4 points that we must have to make sure that our guard is strong. Point number one, we must have strong security. Paul starts off in verse 13 saying, be on guard. The word guard means to watch over in order to protect or control, to protect against danger or harm. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. The moment we say yes to Jesus, church, we must protect what the Lord has placed in us. We must guard it. Amen. So just to kind of open up everyone's minds here this morning. Say me and Carla owned a large property in El Salvador, right? Say we had this huge mansion, right? And say we invited you all to come to a Super Bowl party. I know it's summer, but just bear with me. That's why you got to open your minds this morning. But say we invite you all to come to a Super Bowl party. And, you know, if you're curious like me, you will look it up. I know whenever I'm invited somewhere, I look it up. I just look up this property. I look up the neighborhood. I look up the area. So say you look it up and you find out that this area is mainly controlled by a lot of gangs. It's a lot of gang, activity. So at that point, I'm betting that you probably would give me or Carla a call. Like, hey, man, is it safe? Is it safe to come there? And say we tell y'all on the phone, oh, yeah, man, you know, everything will be cool. We got security. You know, we got gates around the property. Everything will be cool. Right. So say then you all come and y'all find out the property is only half gated. Y'all find out we only got 2 security guards and they unarmed. Right. And now keep in mind, this is an area that's heavily with gang activity. Right. At that moment, you will feel unsafe. Correct. You would feel like, man, their security is weak, right? So my question for us all this morning is, how is our spiritual security? Is it strong or is it weak? Husbands, hear me today. Wives, hear me. Teenagers, hear me. Kids, hear me. Single men and women, hear me this morning. If our security system is weak, we're in trouble. If our security system is based on a repeat after me prayer, or I was baptized 18 years ago, or, you know, you fill in the blanks, we're in trouble. Our security better be built on a sold out relationship, all in with the cornerstone, King Jesus. So a question for us all this morning. Who is the gatekeeper of our lives? Who is the gatekeeper? Is it the Lord? Is it us? It's not a trick question. Just something, you know, to ponder. The question, the answer to that is we are the gatekeepers of our own hearts. If you don't believe me, let's take a look at Genesis 4. This is God speaking to Cain. He told Cain, is it not true that if you do what is right, you will be fine? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at the door. It desires to dominate you, but you must subdue it and become its master. Right. So God is telling Cain there, because at this point, Cain is jealous over Abel's offering and he's thinking about killing his brother. And God approaches Cain and telling you got to subdue this. Right. You got to do something about it. So, church, we are the gatekeepers over our hearts. See, we got it twisted in America. We say God is in control. I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. And while saying all of this, we allow all of this demonic junk into our hearts, into our minds, into our homes. Right. So, church, it's on us to take a stand on what we watch, what we do, what we partake in. And it's true. God is in control. However, he gives us free will to choose. I was talking to Brother Chris Johnson a couple weeks back. And we were he had picked me up. We had went to Joe Rowland's bachelor party. And we just got on a conversation on, like, what do we entertain ourselves with? What do we watch? And he said pretty much him and Lacey, they really don't watch anything. Because it's so much filth out there. Jesus said that our eyes is the gateways to our souls. So we have to be careful on what we entertain ourselves with. I believe it was Isaiah Salvador said, what we entertain will eventually enter us. So we got to be careful of what we're watching and what we're partaking in. Amen. So church, it's on us to take a stand and say, I'm not watching that. I'm not hanging around that person. I'm not going to that place. My kids can't listen to certain music. My kids can't play certain games and watch certain movies. If we don't take a stand in our homes, the devil would just invade and do whatever he wants. Come on. So when we choose the Lord over flesh, he strengthens our security. And at that point, we're able to overcome fleshly desires. Amen. Paul said in Ephesians 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but spiritual forces and principalities in heavenly places. I love that Pastor Eric always say that we are born into a war. That's something that none of us can escape. We can't get around it. We can't get away from it. Amen. And also in Ephesians 6, Paul talks about putting on the whole armor of God. Which a couple months back, if you remember, Pastor Eric preached a sermon on putting on the armor of God, and really breaking that down, it really means a prayer life. If we don't have a prayer life, our security system will be weak. If we're relying on ourselves to be strong, we won't last long. I mean, I don't know about you, but I have seen so many people over the years who have relied on their own strength. And yeah, they be good for a season. They be good for a moment, but it never lasts. Psalms chapter 20, verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord, our God. My question for us this morning is, where is our trust? Where is our security? Is it in our flesh? Is it in culture? Or is it built on the Lord? Amen. So point number two. We must be firm in our faith. Looking back at the verse there, Paul said, stand firm in the faith. Firm. The word firm means to behave in a way that shows that you are not going to change your mind. I'm going to say that again. It means to behave in a way that shows that you are not going to change your mind. I remember as a kid, when my mom would get on me, she'd tell me I'm on punishment or whatever, right? And I can remember about an hour or two later, I'd try to circle back around. Like, Mom, can I go outside? And I can remember her standing there with that bonnet on, that long old, 1970 gown, right? I can remember her standing there, and she would say these words: I stand firm on what I just said. My mom said that, it was time to run, right? So she was firm. She wasn't playing no games, right? So my question for us this morning, church: are we firm in our faith, or are we just playing church? See, the thing is, American Jesus says, live it up. You're not perfect. Check your boxes. Live your life. You're covered by the blood, right? That's American Jesus. But biblical Jesus says, have you counted the cost? Are you all in? That's Luke chapter 14. I love what evangelist Sean Smith said. He says it this way. He says, you can't have a promised land address and have Egyptian taste buds. That's a, come on, mic drop, right? And that is so good, man. Like when I heard that, I was like, man, that is good. And of course, we know he's referring to what happened in the book of Exodus when God set the children of Israel free and they were crying and complaining in the wilderness. Like, man, at least in Egypt, we had this and we had that. So the thing is, we can't say we love the Lord and we still missing the world. We missing culture. We can't say we love the Lord, but we got a taste for the world. Both can't mix. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, Jesus said, no one can serve two masters. Either he would hate one and love the other. You cannot serve God and money. Amen. So we can't serve both. We can't have one foot in the world and one foot with God. We have to make a choice. Amen. In other words, we can't serve God in flesh. We have to pick. Are we firm in our faith? Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Everyone that hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on a rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell. And great was the fall of that house. My question for us is, are we built on Jesus or are we built on our flesh and culture? Just a thought this morning. And I'm saying all of this in love, The Lord stepped on my toes first, and I'm just delivering what he put on my heart this morning. And moving along to point number three, we must be courageous and strong. We must be courageous and strong. The word courageous means not deterred by danger or pain. The word strong means to be able to withstand great forces of pressure. So just a quick side note here. One of the things that Jesus highlights in Matthew 24, he says those who endure to the end will be saved. In Matthew 24, Jesus is talking about the end times, talking about how the Antichrist is going to be on the earth, talking about how it's going to be trials and tribulations, all of these different things that's going to be going on. And it's interesting how Jesus said, how Jesus says those who endure to the end will be saved. Amen. And just wanted to mention real quick, when we're saved, everything is not going to always be 68 degrees sunshine, right? It's going to be times where things get tough. It's going to be times where things get rough. Jesus actually promised trials and tribulation, right? But the question is, in those moments, will we be strong and courageous or will we cower away? Just some thoughts this morning. We're going to have to be strong and courageous to make it in these end times. That's the only way we'd be able to stand, church. If we're weak, if we're soft, we won't make it. Joshua 1:9 reads, Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So God is telling Joshua this as he goes into the promised land, be strong and courageous. Jesus didn't shed his blood for us to be cake batter or gummy bear Christians. I'm going there this morning. We wasn't set free to be soft. It seems like everything that we're witnessing in our culture, the culture is getting louder and the church is getting quiet. It's time for us to stand in what the Lord has called us to do. We must be strong and courageous, not backing down from culture or the enemy. We must be strong and courageous and take a stand in our homes against everything that is evil. So what's the opposite of being strong and courageous? It's being weak. It's being a coward. It's being soft. I know the wording this morning here sounds hard. I know it sounds strong, but this is all being said out of love this morning. So what does God have to say about cowards? Because God do mention being a coward in the Bible. I know in America, we tend to shy away from these verses, but it's part of scripture. Revelation 21, verse 8. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestables, as for murderers, the sexual, immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portions will be taken in that which burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. It's talking about the lake of fire, right? So the thing is, we got this American mindset that the moment that we're saved, we just sit back and take a back seat. And we have allowed culture to invade the church and tell us that confronting sin, standing strong and courageous, is evil, right? We have allowed culture to tell us that. We have allowed culture to tell us that we can no longer discipline our kids, right? And I'm not saying none of this to, you know, to throw shade on the one, just being real this morning. So, brothers, I'm going to have you bring those pictures up. Can they go through? All right. That's probably how I look in the natural, by the way. But so this picture, my question is, spiritually, do we look like this in the spiritual realm, or do we look like this? Come on, that's what I'm talking about right there. So which one? Which one are we? That's my question for us this morning. Are we strong and courageous, or are we weak and soft? And like I said, I'm saying this morning in love. This is critical, because this will determine if we make it or not. It's going to determine if we're able to stand firm. Jesus says those who endure to the end will be saved. Amen. So we have to be strong and courageous, and we can't have our spiritual man built if we don't have a prayer life. We have to have a prayer life every single day, right? That's why we read in the Gospels, it says that Jesus often withdrew to pray. Not sometimes, not twice a week, often withdrew, right? Often the disciples will be looking for him. Jesus will be gone. They get up early in the morning, Jesus, and already bounce, and he's spending time with the Father, right? My question is for us, how is our prayer life? Are we praying every single day? Are we in God's word every day, or are we hit and miss? Because we got to understand, the devil is not taking no time off. The Bible says that he goes about like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. So he's not taking no days off. My question is, church, are we taking days off? Are we calling in on the Lord? Oh, Lord, I can't make it today. Oh, Lord, I can't pray today. I'm too busy. Oh, I got to take the dog for a walk. Oh, I got to cut the grass. I had a long day at work. I worked to 12. I worked to 10. Are we allowing those things to keep us from praying? Now, I just wanted to mention, Jesus says to much who is given, much more is expected. So for stay at home moms, and you got, you know, a lot of kids, the Lord understands that you may not have an hour and a half to spend with him, but he will honor that 20, that 30 minutes. Maybe some of our situations are different, and we got that free time to spend an hour or two. to much more is given, much more is expected. Amen. I hope this is all sounding okay this morning. Not trying to sound harsh, man. Just have to deliver what the Lord put on my heart. And point four, we must live centered on love. Church, how could we not live centered on love when Jesus gave his all for us? The Bible says that we didn't love him first, but he first loved us. So if everything else that we're doing is not centered on love, we're doing it all wrong. As Paul said here in verse 14, let everything be done in love. So if I don't love my coworkers, I don't got no business telling them about Christ. I can't even approach them if I don't love them. So we must do all things out of love. In Matthew 22, verse 36 to 39, it reads, "Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself." If we truly love the Lord, if everything we do is centered on love, with loving God, everything else will flow from that. If we love him, we're going to love people. We got to remember, we got to hate sin, but not hate the sinner. We got to understand that. Let us remember that, because it's easy to get in the flesh and begin to feel some type of way towards people. But we got to remember, we got to feel some type of way towards the sin. God hates sin, right? He don't hate people, because his word says he doesn't want any of us to perish. And I'm going to be honest, it can be tough. It can be tough sometimes at work. You hear people dropping F-bomb after F-bomb, saying this and that. And sometimes I'm like, man, Lord, I don't even want to look at this dude. I don't even want to be near him, right? And it's easy to get like that. But we got to remember, we got to operate in love. We got to remember, people are broken. They're crying out. And the Lord has called us to be the light. He has called us to be his hands and feet, to partner with us, to go out and invade darkness. Amen. So, church, that's on us. We must live centered on love. We can't lead our families, our households properly if it's not done out of love. I know just in my marriage, going on 14 years, every time we have tried to help one another and it wasn't done out of love, it didn't end well. I mean, come on. Everybody in here that's married, y'all know what I'm talking about. Every time, it never ends well. And just to share a story this morning, I don't know if you heard this before or not. So about a year or two ago, I had an addiction to this certain video game. It was called NBA 2K. And it got to the point where I found myself playing this game a lot, like hours on top of hours, was neglecting time with God, and I was starting to spend a lot of money on this game because they have what you call microtransactions, and I was spending money on this game to compete online, right? And my wife noticed it, right? I thought she didn't, but she noticed it. And instead of her coming at me, like, to check me, if you will, if I can word it that way, I had a wife, you know, I got a wife that began to pray for me. She just started praying. She started going to the secret place and just crying out for me. And I got convicted heavy. I opened up to a couple brothers. Chris was one of them, and Joe was, Caleb Jones. I opened up to them. They prayed for me. But I just got convicted, right? And by my wife choosing love to be centered on love, you know, it broke through and I got humble and I repented and the Lord set me free. So I'm sharing that this morning because maybe in your household, maybe it's kids, maybe it's a spouse, maybe it's a brother, a cousin. I don't know what it looks like for you, but if it's not centered on love, we had never win them over to the Lord. As Pastor Eric said a couple weeks ago, we're not going to win an argument with a person that has a wall up. We just not going to get nowhere, because at that point, if they have demons, you're going to end up arguing with their demons. And then you're going to get in a shouting match, and then hurtful things going to be said, and that don't never end well, right? So we have to intercede. We have to pray, right? It must be centered on love. We got to cry out for our family members. We got to cry out for our neighbors. We got to cry out for our coworkers. Amen. It's got to be centered on love. So I just want to wrap with this. And as I said, I knew it wouldn't be too long this morning, just sharing what the Lord put on me. Do not be in a rush to go. Please do not be in a rush to get out of here. I really want us to come up to this altar and to soak in the Lord and to spend time with him. So I want to close with this. Revelations chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, and I know your trials and your patience. Endure, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and are bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. But I want us to focus on this part. But I have this against you. You have abandoned the love you had at first. Maybe this morning, maybe your security system is tight. Maybe you don't allow certain shows, certain entertainment. Maybe you're not watching filth, and that's awesome. To God be the glory on that. But maybe you're operating strong in that, but you're not quite centered on love. Maybe you're centered on love, but then your security system is off. You know, maybe you're strong and courageous, but you don't operate in love. I don't know how it looks for everyone here this morning. I don't know how it looks for those who are watching online and listening by podcast. But the question is, what are some of the things that the Lord has against us? I want to share a dream I had a couple months back. In this dream, I was sitting in my car and I looked on my phone. And I was reading Galatians chapter 5 in this dream, where it says to keep in step with the Spirit. And the Lord showed me certain areas of my life. I had like high numbers and steps, right? So the areas where I was doing good, it was highlighted green. But then the Lord began to show me certain areas of my life where I wasn't keeping in step with the Spirit, where it was red. And when I woke up, the Lord showed me, he was telling me, you may be doing good here, but I want that that's way over there. You're lacking in that area. You may be good here, but you're lacking over there, right? So just as we close, I just want us to ponder that. You know, it won't be no formal dismissal this morning. I mean, if you absolutely have to go, I understand. But please do not neglect this moment of spending time and just soaking in the Lord. So I'm going to have everyone stand. And maybe you're here this morning and you like, man, Brother Quan, I don't know the Lord. I haven't even got the knowing. If that's you this morning, I pray that you will come up. I pray that you will come up here and completely surrender your life to the Lord. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. So if you're here this morning and you just feel like, man, I need to surrender. I don't know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. If I was to die today, I know that my eternity won't be spent with the Father. If that's you, I just want to invite you to come up.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. This message and other resources are available at destinydayton.com.